my first drink to have with you. Here.
No, Rick, not tonight.
Especially tonight.
Oh, I'm so glad you two could make it to our wine and cheese party.
Oh, thank you.
Let's go inside. Yeah.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Copernicus called, and you are not the center of the universe.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay-sipping diva, and you are turning into a version of The Wine Crush, the show about the grape in all its glory, the travels on the vine, and everything we can find in between. Last week, we did our tribute to Father's Day, and it actually leads into the interesting topic of today's show, bringing on the barbecue. I was very fortunate. I got to spend Father's Day with my dad, and invariably, anytime you get around fathers, as I commented, it involves outdoor appetizers, outdoor grilling. You know, you put all the things together between tools and grills and fires, and so we had a big barbecue to celebrate Father's Day. So as I was thinking about what wine I wanted to drink to get through the day, it occurred to me that that stems a great question. What exactly is barbecue? What ties up in it? And how exactly should we go about outdoor entertaining, combining all these wonderful things? So that is going to be the topic of today's show. But interestingly, I have finally talked Pete Perry. He is the vice president of Donna Estates. For those of you who tune into the show on a regular basis, you will remember the great stir caused by the Donna Estates Cabernet we talked about at $198 a bottle. Well, Pete's going to join us today, and we're going to talk about the great phenomenon of that lovely cult Cabernet coming out of California. So until Pete gets here, we need to seriously think about the concept of barbecue. Now, barbecue to me is very confusing because when you look at the term of barbecue, you can look at, is it a verb, is it a noun, or is it an adjective? For those of you in different parts of the country, to barbecue means that you are actually out putting something on the grill. Doesn't necessarily have to be a pork or a beef product. It can be anything. Where is he? He's at the barbecue. Well, if he's at the barbecue, doesn't that make barbecue a noun? So then barbecue actually becomes synonymous with the word grill. So is a grill a barbecue, or is a barbecue a grill? And finally, it's an adjective. How do you like your beef? I like it barbecued. All right, so when you look at all those different things, it can be infinitely confusing. Right, Kent?
Yes.
Kent, how do you
You're
see?
You're way over analytical today.
It's just one of those moods.
Okay.
Kent, how do you define barbecue?
How do I define barbecue?
Yes.
Barbecue is many things to many people, but in the South, where I originate from,
yes,
there are great contests held to come up with the best barbecue. Pit cooked.
Pit cooked.
Tends to be the best.
Okay, so to barbecue to you is to dig a hole in the ground and stick a pig on it.
In a pit, in a pit, like in a brick oven type pit.
Now, for those of you around the country who are just horrified at the idea of digging a hole in the ground and calling it a barbecue, we encourage you, call in. Let us know what you think about that. 877-4-CRUSH-1. Is barbecue a noun, a verb, or an adjective? We'd love to hear what your ideas are. But that also brings to the next point. Kent actually got me onto this early, but it doesn't really matter. In the South, this is what barbecue is. Now, when you think about barbecue regionally, it can cause some problems. Sit back and think about barbecue as a whole. You can have Texan, you can have Brunswick, you can have St. Louis, you can have Memphis, you can have Lexington. Then there's the great barbecue divide in North Carolina and South Carolina. So once you get through the regionalities, then is barbecue a pig or a cow? Is it smoked? Is it grilled? And then the basis for it. Is it mustard? Is it tomato? Is it ketchup? Is it honey? Is it molasses? Well, then there's the different types of barbecue as far as actual heat. Is it mild? Is it medium? Is it hot? Or is it just damn stupid? Where's the gallon of milk hot? I mean, it's just a whole lot of different things to consider. So that's why we are sharing our insight here at the Wine Crush with you today. No matter how you look at how you cook your meat, let's find a wine that will accompany it. So in light of that, my wine recommendations follow along that path. For those of you who are listening, you should know by now that I am definitely a child of the South. Ergo, my recommendations are going to lean more toward the Southern-style barbecue. Having said that, I'm going to go down under for my red recommendation. I would like to have Peter Lehman Shiraz with my barbecue. Shiraz, for our listeners, tends to be spicy. It has great body to it. But not only does it have the pepper characteristics, it can have some fruit to it. It has a little blueberry. It can have a little blackberry. So when you get the spice, you get the blackberry, you get the blueberry, and put it all together, it goes great with that smoked pig taste. Once again, the child of the South. So that's our recommendation for today. Peter Lehman, obviously, he is well known throughout the big country down under, and his wines tend to be reasonable. You should be able to pick up Peter Lehman Shiraz for under $10 at any of your local mega marts. Now, as far as white wines and barbecue, there is great debate on that as well. However, since I like my barbecue to have a little bit of heat and a little bit of sweetness to it, that means you need to find something that will balance both. So for that, I am looking for Behringer Alluvium White. Now, this is a wine that sometimes can be hard to find. About 5 or 6 years ago, it fell under that ugly word allocated, and you couldn't get it in your stores. But right now, it's a great blend of three different grapes. I believe it's Semillon, Sauvignon Blanc, and a little bit of Chardonnay. So it has the acidity, it has the sweetness, and it has the balance. And so it goes well with any of those honey-type sauces that you might want to put on. Also, because it can stand heat, because a little Semillon in it, it refreshes your palate after every bite. And we all know, as good as barbecue is, however you see it, you need to refresh your palate. There is more to drink with barbecue than beer. I promise you that. And we're going to make sure you go down that path today. So wine recommendations to go with your barbecuing, which we all know is outside, is Peter Lehman Shiraz, Behringer Alluvium White. But Kent, I got to ask you a question.
Okay.
What is men's fascination with barbecue? If you're going to actually have a grill, you're going to put something outside, why do men get happy around the grill?
I think it goes back to the days of the caveman.
Is that it?
It's kill it and cook it.
Kill it and cook it.
That's what we do.
Well, see, thank you. Because men will say that they barbecue. But like I said, I got back from Father's Day. My mother was in charge of doing the outside event. And let me get this straight. My dad said he did a barbecue. Mom and I went, we bought the groceries. We picked the menu. We made the 7-layer dips. We made the tossed salad. We made the cheese balls. We cut up and designed the whole condiment tray. We made the 8-layer cake for dessert. We made sure there was gas for the gas grill. We made sure that all the paper products were there, that they were all set out, that everyone had napkins, that everyone had their forks. Then we set the table. Then we handed the meat to Dad to put on the grill. But then once that was, we put it back in the kitchen. We served it all. We put it all together. We made sure everyone had food. And then we cleaned up afterwards. But to this day, if you ask, my dad had a barbecue. Now, what is the fascination with that? Someone explain this to me.
I think you're on to us.
Okay, I think we figured this out. Every woman you nine out there, next time a man says that they barbecue, just pop them over the head with whatever rib bone is left over. So, as you can tell, I am definitely on a roll today, and we are going to continue on this enlightened tour of the barbecue after a small break.
I'll have a
white wine spritzer.
Yes.
And you, sir?
I'm fine, thank you. Hi.
Hi.
You look good.
You look good yourself. I thought you were never going to call me.
You did?
But I really wanted you to, and I thought you were never going to.
Do you have kids?
No.
You want mine?
The Wine Crush.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it. So call us right now. 800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. 700-5437. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable health insurance, call us now and see how we can help you. 800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. That's 800-700-5437. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
If you're self-employed or run a small business, you know your business bottom line. But do you know your bottom line when it comes to your family's health insurance? The Mega Life and Health Insurance Company helps self-employed folks and small business owners focus on the bottom line every day when it comes to their health insurance plans. Here's the bottom line. If you don't have the right health insurance plan, you could be in trouble. Check your health insurance coverage today and call Mega, where the bottom line is quality health insurance designed for the self-employed and small business owners.
Call now for your free health insurance quote.
800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. That's 800-700-5437. Market and plans vary by state. Not licensed in New York. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Association group plans, where available, require association membership.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Oh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and for my favorite loyal listeners out there, you will remember, I don't know, somewhere around 3 months ago, we started a great debate about a wine because of its price point. It was called Donna Estates, and it was my wine recommendation for the week, and there were a couple that said, how can you recommend something that's so expensive? Well, what was interesting is the majority of you stood up and said, absolutely, I would love to know of a collector's wine before Robert Parker tells me it's one. So because of that, I have twisted the arm of one of my dear friends who happens to be the vice president of Donna Estates to drag him on the show to talk a little bit about his wine and the sensation it is creating. So at this point, Pete Perry, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Hi, Laura.
How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. I'm fighting a little bit of a cold, but other than that, I'm fine.
That's quite all right. You probably got it from standing out at the barbecue, didn't you?
Absolutely.
That's what we're talking about today, is men and their concept of barbecuing, how women do all the work and men just get to sit there and burn things on the grill.
It's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing. Well, Pete, Donna Estates, of course, you know that you are near and dear to my heart, and we were fortunate enough to get to talk about your wines earlier in the year. Tell us a little bit about Donna Estates from someone that doesn't have a biased point of view.
Well, I think the first question we might want to start is what does it take to make a great wine? And I think in my mind it takes three things. It takes great vineyards, and I like to think that we have those. It takes an incredibly talented production team, and I think we've got that with a world-class winemaker named Philippe Melka. And it takes a proprietor with both deep pockets and a commitment and a long-term vision, and I think we have that as well. And when you have that trifecta, I think you've got a lot of things going for you. In our case, the winery is based in Rutherford, and not only in Rutherford, but in the very heart of the Rutherford Bench. And for some of your listeners, they may remember that some of the greatest wines in the 20th century made in America came from the heart of the Rutherford Bench, and with old standbys, the England Cask Reserve and the B.V. George Latour. Those really are legendary wines that have their roots in this area. So I think in our case, when we had a chance to purchase vineyard land in the heart of this famed appellation, we leapt at the opportunity and set aside the task of trying to make the best wines we could.
Pete, I think there's something that you are doing that obviously our forefathers could not do in the wine business, but to me, you seem to have done the most single-minded research into this. You and Melka and Mr. Lee got together and knew you only wanted to do one thing. You knew from the outset exactly what that one thing would be. Why did you decide just to do Cabernet? Was it a great confluence of events, or just the three things you said lined up for it?
I think the three things lined up, but ultimately I think Napa is best known for world-class Cabernet, and I think the best vineyards in Napa, by and large, are recognized by many as being Cabernet vineyards. And so when you're going to be a Napa-based facility, and if you want to make truly world-class wines, wines that stand amongst the best in the world, I think you start with Cabernet, or at least a Bordeaux blend, a Cabernet-based wine.
Pete, you and I have had opportunity to talk on many occasions. And we kind of jokingly laughed about $198 Cabernet coming out in its first nationwide rollout this year with the economy like it is. I would imagine that the groundswell of people accepting your wine has been beyond your belief, or what are your opinions on that?
Well, first of all, it's $275.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Winery retail, but that's okay. Why quibble over $77?
$77, $177, hell, who cares?
You know, it's interesting. You know, could we have picked an absolutely worse time? I don't know, maybe this year and perhaps 1929 to launch a brand like this. But you know, I've been very gratified, all joking aside, by the response in the market. Admittedly, this is a wine that's very difficult for most of us to deal with right now because of the economy. Even in the best of times, I completely expect that it's only a wine that might appeal to a few people that are genuinely interested in what is perceived to be a great wine. But even in the midst of a lousy economy, I see a lot of people in as I go out in my travels that are really excited about what this project represents. When they hear the story, when they taste the wine, the view seems to be, you know what, it's really expensive, but damn it, it's worth it.
Pete, I think a lot of times we find ourselves pandering to the lowest common denominator. But when you look at something of this quality and of this that I believe will be in full esteem in the next 10 years, I don't think we have a problem. There are people out there who still recognize an amazing bottle that truly captures terroir, and I think this is it.
Well, thank you. And if I can put it in another way, you know, I think part of it comes down to how do we choose to spend our entertainment dollars? And for someone like myself who's very much into food and wine, it's not like I'm going to do this very often, but every now and then I'm going to spend something, a fair chunk of money, to have a great bottle of wine with a nice meal. A lot of my friends may not share my view, but they may go out and spend all sorts of money on sporting events. You know, what does it cost to go to a San Francisco 49ers football game? Probably north of $275 for a couple people. What does it cost to see an NBA playoff game? Well north of that. If you're into plays, well, if the best Broadway plays first run are going to be very expensive. And just as a kicker, I was in Texas not too long ago, and a friend of mine told me that he had spent $1,000 for two tickets for he and his wife to see Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, good Lord.
Would I do that? Well, probably not, but he really loved it, and it was a memorable experience for him and his wife, and it was worth it to them. So I think it sort of depends on, you know, what makes a memorable evening or experience for you, and if wine's a part of that, then this is the type of wine I think that would appeal to you.
I was going to say, whoever the couple was that spent $1,000 for Fleetwood Mac, just go ahead, give me the $1,000. I'll send you a CD, and I'll put it on Donna, and we'll see which one wins.
Good call.
Before it's all said and done. Well, Pete, you are definitely a legend on in Napa Valley. Ironically enough, we had an old buddy of yours on last week, Mr. Larry McGuire, and they were talking about their new Pinot project. Now, when you're looking at limiting a winery to doing only one wine, in the sense that you're only going to do Cabernet, do you find like you are yearning for other things? Do you want to see other projects, or are y'all going to stay focused on Cabernet?
You know, that's a big question for us. You know, we all like to drink great wine. And you know as well as I do that all of us that love great wine, we're always fascinated by where that next bottle of great wine is going to come from. And we want to try it. So all of us at our winery drink other wines in addition to great Cabernets. So we maintain a genuine interest in that. All I can tell you right now is that we're just focused on making Cabernet and making the best three single vineyard Cabernets that we can make. Down the road, we'll see if that takes us anyplace else. But right now, Donna Estates is all about making the best Cabernets that we can.
Pete, when I talked about Donna, there were some listeners that went out and bought bottles, And the one thing, they would send me back questions, and I couldn't answer them effectively. For those of you who have seen or need to see a bottle of Donna Estates, it's covered in lotus flowers. And they asked me, why is it covered in lotus? And I couldn't give them an intelligent answer. Can you tell our listeners why the label is designed as such?
Sure. Our owner, Hee Seng Lee, is Korean. And as you may know, in some Asian cultures, the lotus flower represents regeneration, recreation, and rebirth. And in Hee Seng's view, as vintners and growers, every year we get to do this again. We get to offer what Mother Nature brings to us annually.
Ah, so every time you get to start again, you start fresh.
That's right.
Well, once you already get great wines like you have, Pete, where do you think you're going
to
go?
You keep trying to make better wine. You know, as someone else has told me, the best bottle of wine hasn't been made yet. You know, and you know, although we're very, very happy with what we've been able to produce so far, the wine that we have on market, we're delighted with. But we know what's in barrel, we know what's coming, and we just think the best is yet to come. And not only just for us, but on behalf of all of our folks in the industry, I think generally speaking, winemaking has improved dramatically. Grape growing has improved dramatically in the last decade or so. And as these relatively new vines that are planted post phylloxera gain more and more maturity, you're not going to believe the quality of wine you're going to see coming out of Napa and Sonoma and other places in California. They're going to be real showstoppers in the next 10 to 15 years.
I think we're going to see some great things. Pete, real quick, I'm going to touch on this because we're going to have a show on it later. You obviously mentioned your winemaker, Philippe Melka. He is one of the world-traveling winemakers. Explain how this works briefly to our listener. It's not like he is totally absorbed and sits there at Donna, but how does he come in and make your wine?
Well, that's a good question. Philippe is known as in essence, he is a winemaking consultant. He works for a range of different wineries, and he's made wines for wineries like Dominus and Dalaval, a Bryant family in the past, and currently he makes wines for brands like Vineyard 29, Lael, Gemstone, 100 Acre, a few other, and a range of others.
I was about to say, what terrible, terrible people to be associated with.
Yes.
Just awful.
Well, I have to tell you that when I started, that was the big question for me. Because I wasn't sure that someone like Philippe would be able to give us the time that I felt our project warranted. And I asked him point blank, I said, Philippe, you know, how is this going to work? I'm real concerned about how many other folks you got on your plate. And he said, well, look at it this way. If I were a winemaker for a much, much larger winery, I'd be dealing with hundreds of acres of vineyards, dozens of different lots, and dozens of wines or SKUs. I'd have to be responsible for doing that. Somehow it would be my responsibility, but I would have a team to help me, but ultimately it would be my call. With me, he says, it's a little different because although I'm making a number of different wines, they're all focused on the ultra-high end. And really, he said, to be perfectly honest, the challenge is not so much in making wine, but making sure I get along with my various proprietors.
And getting along with the proprietors is where it has to be. I understand that. Well, Pete, it is always a joy to talk to you and definitely enjoy having you involved. But right now, we're going to have to take a break. But thank you for being on the show and talking about Donna.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? You're not alone.
Can we make
increasing
it?
Prices and the costs of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts in collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a million-year-old beach? between drinking clean water or breathing clean air. Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
Back to The Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and we are just getting over a visit from Pete Perry with Donna Estates telling us about his great wine. And now that we've heard about exceptional wine, we have to get back on target. We are bringing on the barbecue. Well, like we talked about in the opening segment, there's so many different ways to look at barbecue, and it's so hard to pair with so many different flavors and types of sauces, of spices, and things that are involved. So some current reference points for those of you, whether you're in the South, whether you're in the Texas area, whether you're in the Midwest, whether you're up North, there's some basics with wine and barbecue to remember. When you're looking at your tomato-based barbecue sauces, look for things like Sangiovese. They blend well, they go well, they will carry off on the spices, whatever you want to add to it. So if you're a tomato part of the country, look for Sangiovese. For those of you who are in the mustard part of the country for your sauces, believe it or not, something like Chardonnay, a big Chardonnay, will carry you through with your barbecue. Because what happens is you tend to get a lot of that very spicy, heavy mustard flavor along with a little bit of curry. You put all that together, Chardonnay works well. Now, for those of you in the part of the country that insist on making these things inedible, so hot that it's a testimony, you kind of have to make a challenge to see who can actually get it down without their head setting on fire, you need to think about things like Riesling and white Zinfandels. So for those of you who lean toward the cayenne pepper, for those of you who are sadistic and put wasabi into your barbecue sauce, these are the kind of things you need to think about. The sweeter will always counteract the hot sauces. So those are a couple key points to remember. But right now the show is all about you, and we do have a couple emails we need to take. The email is, this comes from Tina in Houston. Tina writes, how bad is it to pour wine into plastic cups? I don't want my stemware outside. Also, if it's really hot, can I put my wine over ice? Well, Tina, obviously it is fine to put your wine in plastic cups. That is not a problem. I have seen my friends after they've had a bottle or two, and I don't want them carrying my Riedel around either. So yes, it is good to put it in their Dixie cups or whatever is convenient. I would recommend, though, just to add the festivity to the outdoor barbecue and the outdoor event. Whether you go to Walmart, whether you go to Sam's, or even some of your better drug stores, they do make nice plastic wine glasses. These things can survive the dishwasher. They're bounceable. Generally, they don't break. And I would, if you're going to entertain a lot outside, I would invest in about a dozen of those. That way, of course, people can tell their wine glasses apart. Plus, for some reason, sometimes when you get the plastic cups, the 16-ounce, they tend to smell plasticky, and it won't transmit the smell into the wine. As far as putting your wine over ice, this is a raging debate. Once again, I am a child of the South, where if it's not 95 degrees, we don't recognize it as being a true morning. So I understand the need when you're outside to want to get your wine a little bit colder. I have a friend who's been known to put silver oak on ice, whatever makes them happy. Ultimately, wine is about what you enjoy. And if you like your wine colder and you don't have the time or the effort to put it in an ice bath or put it in the freezer, then by all means, if it means you're going to drink wine, enjoy it, put it over ice cubes, make a Slurpee out of it, whatever you'd like to do. Just remember, if you are going to put your wines over ice, it is going to, of course, water down the flavors. And if you water down the flavors, don't judge the bottle or say you hate it after you've tasted it the first time if you have iced it down. So, Tina, I hope that helps you with your outdoor adventures coming up. But let us know. For the rest of you out there who have entertaining, outdoor, barbecue, any kind of wine question, do give us a call, 877-4CRUSH1, or you can email us, info@winecrush.com. Right now, we have another email. This is from Kimberly in Statesville. Kimberly writes, I read a recipe for brisket that called for marinating it in red wine. What red wine should I use? I know a lot of you out there will automatically say whatever's cheap. And I want you to remember something. Whatever you put that piece of meat in, it's going to absorb the flavors. That's part of putting a marinade together. If you wouldn't drink the wine you're going to marinate your meat in, why would you want to put it into your food? Standard pairing right there. If the wine is too cheap to drink, do not use it. Kimberly, when you're looking for what kind of red wine to marinate things in, a lot of people assume Cabernet. Cabernet is a good option because of the level of acidity that is in a Cabernet. It helps break the meat down. No, I am not a cook. No, I'm not a chemist. But I do know that by soaking it in wine with the acid base, it does break it down a little further. So it depends. Ideally, I'd like to see you use a Cabernet. I know people swear by Zinfandel as well. And of course, that's the red Zin. But really, any kind of red wine will do as long as you stick to the golden rule as not marinating in anything you wouldn't drink. On that note, too, this is a great way. I know many of the chefs around the world insist on this. When you're cooking with wine, when you're marinating with wine, make sure that whatever wine you're going to marinate or use in that food is what you serve with the dinner. It helps get a perfect marriage of flavors all the way around. The best chefs in the world do this, and I see absolutely no reason why we can't do it on our own either. So, Kim, hope that helps. Let us know how it turns out. And finally, we have an email from Lori in San Bernardino. Lori writes, is it proper to leave wine on ice outdoors? Lori, I'm going to assume that what you're asking, is it okay to put open bottles of wine in an ice tub? And the answer, of course, coming from 95-degree heat, is going to be yes. But believe it or not, there does come a point where that wine gets too cold to taste. And there is a certain threshold. If you leave wine on ice for over, let's say, 30 minutes to 45 minutes, and that wine gets down to about 42, 36 degrees, then obviously it is too cold to get all the finer points in it out of it. So if you're actually doing this to taste wine, then I wouldn't put it in ice for longer than 20 minutes. If you're doing it just to drink and enjoy your party and knowing that once you pour that glass of wine, 10 minutes later, it's going to be 90 degrees and have at it. I'm going to add on to that comment just a little bit. We had done a event recently, and the temperature skyrocketed to 98 degrees. And unfortunately, we were doing a red wine tasting out on a boat. And that always makes it adventurous. Number one, putting 80 people on a boat and giving them a whole bunch of alcohol leads to all kind of great stories. But past that, we had a whole bunch of red wine outside, outdoors. We did make a point of putting that wine on top of ice bags. So for those of you who are doing red wine parties outside, please don't forget your reds. If you let them sitting on the table and they turn 98 degrees, there's nobody alive that's going to enjoy those things. So if you're going to do red wines in the summer, just keep your bags of ice. You don't have to break them apart. Just let the bottles rest on top of them. It'll put them at a great temperature to serve for the rest of the day. Lori, I hope that helps you. Now, we're going to get to an email that kind of started all of this, besides the fact that I watched my dad set things on fire last weekend. Tim in Raleigh writes, "What wine goes with barbecue?" And like I pointed out earlier, there's a lot of different concepts of barbecue, from the smoke to the grilled to the sauces. But I'm going to give everyone a universal piece of wisdom when it comes to barbecue. Remember the Zin. Zinfandel, America's native grape. It is the one grape that is truly defining what America is, whether it's in its true red form, with its great spiciness, with its great balance of fruit, with its high alcohol levels, is wonderful with barbecue. It will carry off just about any flavors you want it to do, except for those of you in the point of the country that absolutely like to have your barbecue hot. And in doing so, you need to look at the sister grape to Zinfandel. And I don't mean sister grape, I mean the sister product, white Zinfandel. Yes, the two wines to remember when barbecuing are red Zin and white Zin. A lot of people right now are cringing and saying, "Oh my God, Laura, you can't say that. You're the Chardonnay person. I trusted you. I had faith. Why are you recommending white Zin?" For all of you who think that, next time you have to go have something hot or next time you're going to a barbecue, pick up a bottle of Beringer White Zinfandel. I am not doing a commercial. I am seriously advocating this. Because what happens when you get the barbecue, you get the smoky flavors of the meat, and you get past the heat of the cayenne or whatever else is on there, all you're going to be left with is not the sweetness of the wine, but the great fruit. And when it's 98 degrees outside and you get to taste strawberries and you get to taste raspberries, how can that possibly be a bad thing? So yes, for all of our aficionados, for all of those who say, "I will never drink pink," this is your great opportunity. Remember the great Zinfandel, whether it's in red, whether it's in white, it doesn't really matter. That is going to be your grape of choice to get you through the summers. So for those of you who want to argue it, do call me 877-4-CRUSH-1 or email me info@winecrush.com. I will take a moment to regroup while you all laugh, and we'll be back in a moment.
I've been drinking wine recently. That's a sign of maturity. Drinking wine out of the box. Right from that rubber spigot.
The Wine Crush returns in a moment.
Z-Max. It helps your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat save gas and last longer. The secret of Z-Max is micro-lubrication. Z-Max penetrates deep into the metal of your engine and drivetrain where regular oil can't. Z-Max reduces heat and friction, dissipates carbon buildup, restores power, and reduces fuel consumption. Z-Max maintains mileage in your new car and improves mileage in your older car. It works. Log on to Z-Max.com to find a Z-Max retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
I heard in the news the other day about how one man's $3,000 credit card balance exploded to over $10,000 in no time at all. As good as the plastic in your wallet may be, if you run into any problems with your credit card companies, they'll hit you so hard with late and over-limit fees that your head'll spin, and so will your debt. At that point, you cannot stop your runaway debt problem. Well, yes, you can. If your credit card debt is out of control, you're getting collection calls, you're mad as hell, and you can't take it anymore, call us and one of our partner companies will negotiate on your behalf and show you strategies to help you get out of debt.
If you have $10,000 or more in unsecured debt, call now for a free debt analysis. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815.
When a legend like Carroll Shelby puts Z-Max in every car he owns, maybe you should too.
I know it works.
Z-Max with micro-lubrication reduces wear on vital engine parts and increases horsepower. If you're a custom engine builder or a do-it-yourselfer, Z-Max belongs in your car. Z-Max. Easy to use. One in your gas and one in your oil every 5,000 miles. Take it from Carroll Shelby.
I put my name on the line on that, and I mean it.
Log on to ZMAX.com and find a retail performance partner. ZMAX. Performance you can feel.
Mozart toasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious.
And so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes.
And soon you'll realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be.
They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality.
When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and today we are putting things on the Barbie and talking about the wines that go with them. I ran into someone out in the hall, and they told me I had forgotten a very important element. Even though we talk about cayenne and we talk about the heat that tends to be involved in barbecue, I had forgotten honey and molasses, those two great counterpoints to heat. And I have to admit, yes, those are great bases. And for those of you who do use that as the basis for your barbecue, I would recommend using a Merlot. Red wine with something like that sweetness, it will take the tannic structure out of it and will leave you a great fruit flavors like blackberry, the juicy plum flavors, all the great red fruits that we've come to adore. Also, something else I forgot was the jerk-flavored barbecue, those of you who take a Jamaican slant to it. And anytime you're going to use jerk, I always recommend Gewürztraminer. Gewürztraminer is a good balance to the heat. And also, generally, when you're jerking things, you're doing it with chicken and you're doing it with the white meats, so it balances all the way around. So there are some other pairings for you. For those of you who think beer is the only option, we can get wine in anywhere around here, I promise. All right, as the show is all about you, it does mean I have to take phone calls occasionally, and right now we have a call on the wine line. We have Steph from North Carolina. Steph, welcome to The Crush.
I had a question. I'm hosting a small business get-together for my clients, and I was wondering a wine that you would recommend that is affordable yet impressive that everybody would enjoy.
A business get-together. Well, it's interesting. You don't say whether you're doing food. You don't say what you're doing with it. But here's what I recommend. It's easier to stay with the big name brands. When you're looking at people who look at wine lists on a regular basis in business, people tend to go out, they entertain a lot. So it's always nice to help them identify with wines they tend to see by the glass and the accounts that are around you. So it's easy for you in the sense that go into your local restaurants, pick up a wine list, pick up a by the glass list, and see what they're pouring and get an idea of what people are drinking these days. If you look at countrywide, if we're talking about big box brands, BV, Beaulieu Vineyards, is a no fail. BV is great. It's well respected. The wines are always good. And they definitely have all price points. You can get them for under $6. You can get them for under $9. You can get them for under $20. It just depends on the level you're going to do. Of course, people cannot do an event without saying Kendall Jackson. Kendall Jackson Chardonnay, Kendall Jackson Cabernet, Kendall Jackson Merlot. Those are truly standbys. I have to admit, they're fallbacks in my house. If I have a whole bunch of people coming over who aren't necessarily wine savvy but like wine, KJ is a good option. The last one that does come to mind is Gallo does a nice job. It's one of those wines that people are always comfortable with. It is made for a palate. Now, of course, these are big boxes you can get around the country. There's little pockets of great things, but the best advice I can give you to finding out what people drink in your area, go in a restaurant, look at a by-the-glass list, and they will be able to give you a heads-up on that. Well, Steph, I hope that helps. Let us know how your business adventure goes. And just remember, let them drink all the Chardonnay. You just sip socially. All right, moving on. I guess it's a North Carolina kind of day around here because on the wine line we have Sue, and she's from North Carolina as well. Sue, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Just wanted to call about a good sangria recipe for my next party.
Sue, this has been a debate, actually, ironically enough, for the last 2 months around my fellow wine people because we try and debate on what exactly is a good sangria. Sangria is a Spanish concept, and the ones I've had in Spain are outstanding, but I think people take it a little bit too far around here. A good sangria, you can do red or white. Obviously, in summertime, I recommend doing white, but people tend to think of sangria as being red. I would find a middle-of-the-road Chardonnay or Cabernet to use as my base for these wines. simply because you're going to have something that has enough alcohol and enough acid to stand up to what you're about to do to it. So I'm going to go with white because I'm partial to Chardonnay. Here's what I would get. I would get 2 bottles of Chardonnay. Pick your flavor, somewhere around $6 to $8. And then into it, you add limes, you add oranges, you add lemons, and you add apples, and you let them steep overnight. Now, that is really all it takes for good sangria. The problem is people aren't patient. They think they can get that great fruit flavor, they can get the great acidity by dumping it all together and being able to serve it an hour, and it just doesn't work that way. Good sangria should be made 48 hours before you're going to serve it. Other than that, it's not going to meld. It's not going to get all the flavors put together. So definitely plan ahead. This is why we wind up with people trying to put brandy into it, putting 7-Up into it, or putting different kind of sweet wines into it, just to get all kind of balance. The key is not to rush it. People also use whatever fruits they seem handy. What happens is if you start dumping pineapple and kiwi, such like that, into your sangria, these are fruits that tend to get very, very soggy. They don't stand up to the acid of the wine well. So after a while, you wind up with it pulpy. Definitely avoid doing that. Hopefully the sweetness you will get are going to derive from the oranges, and it's going to derive a little bit from the base wine. So hopefully that gives you a good idea. But past that, if you have any other suggestions, do call us, 877-4-CRUSH-1. We have to take a small break right now, but we have more of The Crush when we return.
The Wine Crush.
You see, this earth has been resting. Now it's good. Someday I'm going to buy this land, and I'm going to make a great wine. But here, on this wreck of a vineyard...
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it.
Here's the number. Call right now. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable family health insurance, call now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Not available in all states. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Not licensed in New York.
Mr. Jackson, we're calling to say you're late on your credit card bill. Can you please call us to schedule a payment and avoid future late fees?
If you're getting collection calls from your credit card companies and you want to put a stop to it, gather your bills now and call the Debt Helpline.
Mr. Jackson, we've been trying to reach you. If we don't hear from you soon, your account will go into collections.
We can help you stop the late and over limit fees on most of your credit cards and reduce your high interest rates, in some cases up to 60%.
Mr. Jackson, this is our last warning call. The next call will be from our legal department.
Get your debt and credit card bills under control. Gather your bills and call today for a free consultation on how we can help you get out of debt. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. That's 800-948-6815.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-ya!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood. Hi-ya! Concrete. Hi-ya! Brick walls. Hi-ya! Trees. Hi-ya! Small cars. It can even chop through these 8 guitars. Hi-ya! It chops things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to The Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and we have been investigating the glory of barbecue today in all its forms, whether it's noun, whether it's verb, whether it's adjective, and we have been thinking about hosting outdoor parties. Hopefully, if anything else, you have taken from the show that it's not about beer. Barbecue can go with any type of wine, anywhere, anytime. It's just a matter of pairing it all the way through. Well, as usual, I can't stay on task more than I have to, so at the end of this, I do have to get up on my soapbox for half a second. When you're looking at hosting outside events, please have respect for the people who are putting them together. Whether they're doing barbecues as verbs, nouns, or adjectives, they have put a lot of time and a lot of effort into it. So here, for every fellow hostess out there, I want to remind our listeners of something. If someone is kind enough to invite you to a barbecue, it means that you need to RSVP. The last one's P, play, please. Please let them know that you're going to be there. It is very hard for those of us to prepare to cook wonderful meals and serve great wines for you if we don't know that you're going to show up. Of course, if you're showing up with you, your boyfriend, his two kids, dog, three cats, please do let us know that as well. Additionally, for all of you helpful people out there who agree to go to a barbecue after your third glass of wine and say, hey, not a problem, I'll bring the potato salad and I'll bring the rolls and tell you what, I'll bring a couple bottles of Zinfandel, you don't have to worry about it. Please, if you commit to bringing something to a gathering, make sure that you do show up with said items in hand. There is absolutely nothing worse than a hostess trying to prepare for her lovely party and planning on you bringing all the potato salads and all the buns to find out that you show up with a pan of brownies. It never works out that way, that everything can be as it needs when you say you're going to bring it. So for our listeners, do remember the two important things. If someone invites you somewhere, let them know you're coming and how many you're going to have. And secondly, if you commit to attending said event and you say you're going to bring something, very simply, bring it. Well, hopefully everyone has taken as much from this barbecue show as I have. I know that I've had a lot of fun discussing it, both in the halls, on the air, and with you. But invariably, when we have a topic that's this sensitive, I am sure we will have other shows on it. So I encourage all of you out there, give me your 2 cents worth. Give me your opinion. Call me, 877-4CRUSH1, or email me, info@winecrush.com. I know there's a Texan out there that disagrees that barbecue can be pig. I know that there is a North Carolinian out there that thinks it's absolutely sacrilege to put mustard in a barbecue. And I'm sure there's a Georgian somewhere down there understanding that the only way to do this is from a pit. I need to hear from you. I need to know what you're thinking so we can continue on our merry way. Well, when we're looking at this, as always, you have been listening to The Wine Crush, and our friendly reminders are always sip socially, drink responsibly, drink what you like, not what you're told, and no matter what, even if I'm telling you to drink it, doesn't mean you have to, they're just recommendations, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, this has been The Wine Crush, and I'm looking forward to being with you next week.